Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Sephaku Holdings Limited Interim Results Presentation. All participants will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity to ask questions later during the conference. If you should need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero. Please note that this call is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Sakhile Ndlovu. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Irene. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you all to the Sephaku Holdings Interim Financial Results Presentation. My name is Sakhile Ndlovu, and I'm the Investor Relations Officer. To take us through the presentation this morning is Neil Crawford-Lazarus, the Sephaku Holdings CEO. Neil will be joined by the Metair CEO, Kenneth Capes, and the Sephaku Cement CEO, Dwaan Clason, for the question and answer session. The results presentation and the SENS announcement are available on the company website on the URL link, www.sephakuholdings.com. Those of you on the webcast can find these documents in the download section of the interface. If you're unable to download the documents, please send me an email to sakhile@sephold.co.za, and I'll forward them to you as soon as possible. I'll now hand over to Neil to proceed with the presentation. Over to you, Neil.
Thank you very much, Sakhile. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the results presentation for the first 6 months ended 30 September 2022. Excuse me. The agenda is a very familiar one. We're going to have a financial review, look at the operations, and then a couple of slides on the outlook. I'm on slide two now, which is the disclaimer, which is also familiar, and which you can read at your leisure, and you'll find it on the website. Moving over to the financial review, excuse me, on slide four, first column is the Sephaku Holdings results. We've seen a basic earnings per share increase to 0.1051 from the 0.07 of last year, an increase of 51%. EPS went up to 11.26% from a 7.03, mainly two items there, loss on sale of vehicles and a provision that we made for a very old debt outstanding by Union Atlantic Minerals. They've been on a fundraising process for the last couple of years, but postponement just after half year end prompted us to bring 50% of that into consideration for this half year's results. Net asset value at 4.61 per share, and Sephaku Cement equity accounted earnings, $3.8 million, up from the $2.8 million from last year. Still a very flat industry at this point in time. So after that, the profit after tax for the group, $26.7 million. The EPS was $28.5 million, and that is up by 50% from the $17.8 million of last year. Looking at the Metair results, which is the operations really driving the group results at this point in time. Sale revenue up from 411 to 523 million. EBITDA, 15 million increase in EBITDA, 34% increase. And then on the EBIT, increase of 12 million. The difference between the increase in the EBITDA and the EBIT is then an increase in fleet, which are leased assets but accounted for in depreciation under IFRS. Profit after tax for Metair, 30 million as opposed to the 20 million for the comparative 6 month period last year. On the cement side, I think you've all seen announcements by retailers and also other producers that we've had a market that was down on last year again. Sales revenue 1.16 billion. That is 330 million down from 2021. Just to point out, you'll see the comparatives for cement is 21 and the comparatives for group and Metair is 22. That, of course, is because cement has a December year end and we're reporting for the 6 months to June of this year, which will compare to the 6 months of last year to June. And their year end is therefore a 21 year end, while ours is a 22 year end. EBITDA 146, just down slightly from the 149 of the previous year. EBIT 61 as opposed to the 67.7 million, and the profit after tax up 10 million from the 7.7. So again, the difference there in the interest, the debt being reduced constantly, and then a refinancing, of course, on the 1st of November. Moving on to slide 5. Next year revenue and the volume price analysis. We've gone back to a 5-year view here, and you'll see that revenue has for the first time surpassed the 2018 numbers. We have been always referencing our current year to 2018 because 2019 was already the first year in which we saw a drop in demand in the construction industry, and we had three relatively bad years after that. The September 20 results, of course, was included this level 4 and 5 lockdowns, so that's why the pricing and the volumes were at 61 and 62 on the index with compared to 2018. Recovery therefore on the revenue and pricing side, and volumes approaching 2018 levels, whilst it is higher than the 2019 levels at this point in time. Comparative year-on-year, 27% increase in revenue, 16% in sales volumes, and 8-10% in pricing is what gave effect to that revenue increase. That price increase, compound annual growth rate of 3% per year over the 5-year period, giving us the 16 that we see on the relative scale. Moving on to slide 6, just an indication of what the contributors was to the different levels of the contribution to profit. We have a 23% increase in gross profit for 294 million. Against 29% increase in cost of sales. I think we're all very much aware of what we're seeing in fuel costs and the effect of electricity and the availability of that on cost of sales during the last 6-month period. 34% increase in EBITDA to 59 million is something that we've already had on the salient features, and the compound annual growth rate of 9% over the 5-year period. EBIT is up 39% to the 44 million, with a growth rate there of 7% over 5 years. 90% increase in operating expenses due to the high inflation and cost increases, which I've mentioned. Very, very high double digits there, and 47% increase in the net profit to 30 million rand. Moving on to slide 8 and the Sparkle Cement numbers. You'll see that the pricing has throughout the period, with the exception again of the COVID period, been showing an increase over the period, and currently sitting up at an index of 123 from the 100 of 2018, but volumes are back to 2019 levels, which is even lower than what we saw in 2020, because we had a very good second half during that year. Low levels of volumes, of course, has a large impact on overage per unit produced, and that has a big effect on the numbers that we are currently looking at. So there's 1% drop in gross profit, and EBITDA to 411 from the 147 million respectively, 4% increase in the cost of sales. Input cost increase fully recovered by the pricing, not fully recovered, I should say, as it says here. 9% down in EBIT to 62 million, and admin expenses is down by 13% as part of the cost cutting, right sizing, and every possible exercise that is required under these difficult circumstances. Something we provide regularly, just a breakdown of the cost. Here you can see that energy affected cost elements greater than 50% of cash cost. Transport 45% included in the other of 16 is clinker transfer cost as well, which is another transport element. Moving to slide 10, consumer old household incomes under pressure resulting in reduced demand. That is what we've seen. The graph shows pickup. If we're looking at the household consumption expenditure, the build-up from 2014 to 2020, a severe drop, and the gradual pickup, but still GDP not really outstripping those levels, and below that, taking a turn for the negative in 2022. The household debt as a percentage of disposable income, fairly steep numbers that we're looking at that and having an effect on available discretionary income to spend on the commodities. Financial review of Sephalco Cement in slide 11. Cement imports and clinker imports are shown here on this graph, down, but I think down in a market where demand is also down. So the effect is basically just following the trend of what we're seeing on demand in South Africa generally during this period. Financial review for Metair, start of the year with the cash balance just below 30 million and generated 30 million in cash. Interest income was less than 1 million. Taxation, capex, and then financial liabilities outflow. That is repayment of the existing Standard Bank debt, which will be at 35 million at the end of the year, currently sitting at 41 million rand cash at the end of the period. 37 million rand. Looking at the cement's position, cash at the beginning was 325 million rand, generated by operations 122, and the main one, debt repayment during the same period, 140 million rand, taking the cash at the end of the period to 268. That of course was the balance as at 30 June. Subsequent to that, another payment was made in August, and then the bullet was settled on the 1st of November with a refinancing of a 400 million facility just by Nedbank and Standard Bank, whereas previously we had a consortium of six banks involved. This is a 3-year loan with JIBAR plus 325, and therefore a substantial reduction in repayment profile for the next 3 years compared to the two that we're just coming out of. Financial review for from Spox, I mean, I spoke to the debt restructuring, the amount of 377 plus interest at the 30th of September was the amount that we refinanced. And the final point on that slide, then we've also got a working capital facility available at prime less 50 basis points that is available in a mixture of FX, LCs, and overdraft facility, making up 120 million of the 200 million facility. Operational review for Metair. Looking at slide 16. Continued growth in Cape Town. Segmentation, product segmentation is a key driver of margins, custom segmentation to limit bad debts. Those are all, I think, aspects that we have been operating under and have been focusing on for the last 3-4 years and paying off at the moment, as you can see from the Metair results. Superior customer service specifically again, focusing on those aspects of the industry where we do have the technical know-how and an input to make the difference and make the contribution. The fleet is being in process of being replaced, as you've seen in the depreciation numbers as well. There has been new leases coming in to replace older vehicles in order to keep the fleet average age at an acceptable level for us. Looking at Sephaku Cement on slide 18. Cost efficiencies is the order of the day. I think everything is currently focused on that in an industry where demand is down from previous years, and therefore fixed cost is under pressure. Everything else is being reviewed and looked at on an ongoing basis. Growing quality volumes, those with the higher margins in the correct areas, is what we're trying to focus on and increase that proportion in the mix. As far as alternative fuels is concerned, we have commenced the increase in the utilization of the use of tyres. I think Duan will cover that in questions. And we are, as I said, everything is basically being looked at. Nothing is spared at this stage. Ongoing supply chain optimization, driving operational excellence, regular engagement with key suppliers on improving trading terms. Those are all ongoing. And then the installing of a high performance culture, critical skills retention, ongoing training and development, enhancing employee engagement. I think that's an important aspect as well. One of the things that, and I think we're coming back to it on the outlook as well, that it's something that we will continue to do, the enhancement of the employee engagement. If the group, as a result, as we have today, and the context is not clear, you know, an increase of 50% on net profit after tax, even if it is only from 20 to 30, the 50% increase in profit is what sticks, and then it's very difficult if you are talking to a cement employee to say, but we are in difficult circumstances. We really need to cut costs as far as possible, and increases needs to be reviewed, and bonuses needs to be reviewed, all those type of things. The comeback is easily, but you show a 50% increase in profit, and we want to participate in that. So that's that. The enhancement of the employee engagement, very important here to communicate the full picture and for everybody to realize exactly where this specific industry is on that page. As I've also said, cement reported until June, so we do have a post period up until 30th September, and really seeing that the tough trend is continuing. Sales volume decreased by 15%, and there's inflationary pressure on customer discretionary incomes, as we mentioned, in that availability of funds and the debt levels. The KZN floods, aftermath, and the industrial action limited access to markets, which has also had an effect, therefore, on the KZN deliveries and the Falcon brand that we are marketing there. And then record levels of load shedding. That is double year on year. Not necessarily always hitting production in cement, but hitting consumers and having an effect on the demand and the timing of the demand. So revenue decreased to 1.83 billion from 1.94 billion in the 9 months compared from between 22 year and 21 year. And intense competition is still weakening pricing, lower volumes, you can see, and then EBITDA decreased from 192 to 192 from 243. There's a substantial drop there, and mainly because of high inflation costs that while we've seen them come through during the period, they all basically now eat and is affecting total cost of production at this point in time. Outlook. Looking at slide 21, the demand for building materials is expected to remain constrained. The current and the constant levels there is as constant as just at a 21 price, whilst the current one is, of course, a nominal demand that is plotted on that graph and a very slight move during this period. potential medium-term upside was private investment into energy-related infrastructure. There is also no new entrants expected due to the low demand, and I think that's also why we're not seeing a strong import at this point in time. Demand for building materials is also expected to remain constrained. Flat demand, including infrastructure impetus, you can see that. And there's very little to get excited about on that graph. And then on the right, there's cement demand versus industry capacity. That gap remains 13.4 demand and 18.24 capacity available. That is, I think, why we made the comment that we're not expecting any new entrants. That gap remains, and it's easy to ramp up should prices justify that, or volumes require an increase in production. With regards to the specific outlets, Met here to maintain the focus on foreign customer segmentation, proactive adjustment of the business model to align with the prevailing trading environment, and further focus on the sales efforts in the Western Cape. On the cement side, increased use of alternative fuels is also something that Duan could elaborate on if there's any questions. Right-size the business model to align with the prevailing trading environment. That has been an ongoing and a very difficult exercise, but something that is now being done. Increased use of technology to enhance route to market and supply chain optimization is also with the fuel cost, something that we continue to look at and will continue to look at. And then the point that I referred to just now, enhanced customer talking through business intelligence tools. Every point of sale being monitored to the contribution and looking at how what the distribution should be and where the focus of marketing should be focused on. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this presentation. I will hand back to Sakili for questions.
Thank you, Neil. And we've already started receiving questions through the webcast. I'll go straight to them, and then we'll switch to the conference call. Our first question is from Jovan Jackson from Lorium Capital. And he's asking if we think we might have lost market share in South Africa. I assume this is for Sephaku Cement. So I'll hand over to Duan. Do you feel like you have lost market share in South Africa?
Duan, I'm not sure if you're muted.
Okay, if Duan is not, is he on the call? Is he muted?
He's connected. He's connected on the call. Duan, just make sure your line's not muted, sir. Okay, I will reconnect him. Please hold.
Okay. Unfortunately, most of the other questions seem to be for cement. So, I'll have to, if you can just give us a second to try and reconnect Duan.
Good morning, all. I don't know if I'm audible.
Yes, you are now.
Apologies for that. I seem to have lost the line. I think the question was regarding the loss of market share.
Correct.
I think it's very difficult to assess that accurately because of the lack of information and statistics that's not available. So we can only go in our own internal analysis. And I think it's been, I think, agreed that There's distinctly different environments prevailing, the inland region versus some of the coastal regions. We're predominantly in the inland region, and I think there we've seen marked drop-off in demand, and this is from discussions with some of our main customer groupings. They seem to concur that they have double-digit numbers in year-on-year changes, certainly in the retail sector. So on that basis, we do feel that there was a period earlier in the year that we might have lost a market share. We were fairly aggressive in terms of pricing. It's been well documented that for a number of years, the industry has not been able to pass pricing or input cost inflation onto end users or customers. And we've been attempting to do that for a period of time already. We have taken a bold step earlier in the year, and so the assessment was that we would have lost a little bit of market share earlier in the year and needed to take some corrective steps according to our own intelligence and assessments. So I think currently where we stand is we don't think that there's a massive change in market share, but again, that's based on our own internal research. I hope that helps answer the question to some extent. Thank you.
Thank you, Duan. Another question for you from Charles Balls from Titanium Capital. He says there's talk in the market that Sephaku Cement has become more aggressive on pricing under the guidance of its controlling shareholder and is now a price leader in the market. Can you please comment on this?
When we say price leader, we're talking about increased pricing or?
Yes, it seems like you've become more aggressive on pricing in the market because under guidance from your, assumed DCP.
Well, as mentioned in the previous response, we have taken an aggressive approach towards pricing, understanding the underlying input cost pressures. We have had to make some corrective steps since the earlier announcements earlier in the year. But in our assessment, we're definitely not the market leader in terms of pricing. I hope that answers. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Duan. Unfortunately, he's still on the hot seat. Another question from Charles. He says, well, with the mismatch between capacity and demand, is waiting for demand recovery viable for the industry? How do we resolve this?
Certainly, at current prevailing conditions, we don't think it's viable to sit and wait for that recovery, and hence you will know that a lot of companies are right-sizing their businesses. I think there's been, we've demonstrated in our supply and demand or capacity and demand imbalance that whilst the installed capacity is certainly a lot higher, people are right-sizing. So there's production units being shut down on a temporary basis, on a semi-permanent basis, and so that's what companies tend to do. Currently, it's not at sustainable levels. We've been saying consolidation of the market is way overdue, but that hasn't happened, I think, partly because of the subdued conditions, not finding matches between willing sellers and willing buyers. So I think that's always going to be the impediment. I think what needs to potentially happen is if pricing needs to be corrected to absorb some of these input cost pressures, if we're not going to see more or further casualties in the industry. I guess there's a point beyond which companies can right to which companies can right size, stopping short of discontinuing operations. So unless the industry corrects itself, that's certainly a possibility.
And the final question from the website, related to what you've actually talked about, right sizing, is it's just a request for more elaboration. So Jovan Jackson from Lorium is asking if you could elaborate. I know you kind of touched on it in your previous answer. Can you elaborate on the right sizing you intend to implement at Sephaku Cement?
Yeah, we mentioned that business intelligence and route to market strategies is quite important, given that transportation of our products is quite a big part of our business model. So right sizing means optimizing your production units and sourcing from the correct plants to the extent that you can supply those market more economically, taking into account your overhead structure and minimizing that overall impact on total cost of production. So without going into too much details, we have there's a few levers that we currently are exploiting. Two further improve on the advances that we've made thus far. So it's essentially producing the right products at the right plants, at the right periods of the year, taking into account seasonality, distance to market, etc. So those would be the things that we would be doing.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Duan. There's a question that has come through again from Loriam. Duan just wants a bit more information. He says, we mentioned shutdowns, mothballing of plants. Is it possible to give an indication of what active capacity and expected active capacity at the moment?
I think active capacity would be current demand. Otherwise, people will sit with inventories. Economic capacity is something that one could argue, you know, what is economical currently. What we're finding is each of the integrated producers would only be running their most efficient production units. I think certain of the integrated producers would have to invest more than others to get the remaining units in economical, well, converted to economical capacity. So that's, it's varying levels of investment that I think is required to be economical. Understanding, of course, there's another dynamic in that the production units are close to the limestone reserves. That's not necessarily close to all the markets. And so transportation becomes another factor to consider. So depending on the geographic positioning, your relative production efficiency could be outstripped by route to market or distance to market in terms of transportation cost. That's our assessment on it.
Yeah, no, I agree, Duan. It depends on where the demand goes and where the price goes with regards to each individual plant and the economic viability of it.
Thank you. Thank you, Duan, and thank you, Neil. I do not have any additional questions on the website. I want to hand back to Irene to check if there are any questions on the conference call.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, you are welcome to press star and then one on your touchtone phone or on the keypad on your screen. If you, however, wish to withdraw that question, you may press star and then two to remove yourself from the question queue. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, you are welcome to press star and then one. Also, just another reminder for those on the webcast, if you would like to ask a question, you may submit it via the text box at the bottom of the screen. We will pause a moment to see if we have any questions. We have no questions on the conference call.
Thank you, Irene. I've got an additional question on my side, Charles from Titanium Capital. I think I'll try and read it verbatim. He says, you know, he's been involved in a project recently that used Metia. The performance and service levels were impressive. The results of Metia are incredible. Well done to Kenneth and team. I don't know if you want to comment on that, Kenneth, but it's really a congratulatory note from Charles, who's actually interacted with Metia in the field.
Thank you, Charles. That's all I can say. That's what we aim to do, and that's kind of where we hope that the kind of results that we're putting out reflect that kind of service that we're giving people.
Thank you. Thank you, Kenneth. I don't believe there are any additional questions going forward. Maybe, Neil, do you have any closing remarks or anything you want us to say before we say goodbye to the participants?
Thank you, Sakili. No, not from our side. There's no other questions. Thank you for joining us and have a good day.
Thank you, Neil. So there being no further questions, thank you so much once again for participating in our results presentation. If there are any further questions, please use my contact details available on the back slide of the presentation. And I wish you all a good day and goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's event. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.